This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome to the Raiders in Paradise Podcast, where we chronicle the Raiders' return to greatness in Paradise, Nevada, aka Las Vegas, the entertainment capital of the world. So you know it's only right the great Raiders franchise is there. Luke Straub here with Raider Larry Marbley. And Raider Nation, we had another roller coaster of a week. The Raiders went to New York and lost to the Giants. That was a bummer, 23-16. The Raiders promptly signed receiver DeSean Jackson after the game. And then more recently, Damon Arnette, the Raiders' first round pick, was released by the Raiders for reasons we all know and we will get into shortly. Raider Larry, how you feeling, player? It's another wild week over here in the Raider Nation.
Right? You know, what's going on, Luke? What's going on, Raider Nation? How's it going? Another week? Nothing new out here, man. You know, with our Raiders, right? I mean, this is just typical Raider Nation type of year. Nothing really, you know, new here at all. You know, you deal with the head coach, you deal with several players. Oh, and you also have to deal with football games as well. So yeah. nothing new, nothing to deal with, you know. But our Raiders look like we're getting through it, and definitely happy with the DeSean Jackson signing. Can't wait to discuss the topics of the week.
Yeah, and you know, Raider Larry alluded to it. We are going to talk about the Chiefs game, and we're definitely going to talk about the loss in New York. But with so much stuff going on, we're going to kind of talk about the kind of fallout from the Ruggs incident. You know, what happened there? The Raiders were in the red zone six times, had one touchdown. I know Ruggs isn't a red zone threat, but you know, what was going on with that loss? Was the Ruggs hangover had anything to do with it? Why did Derek Carr play so poorly? He had three turnovers. And so we'll talk about that game, but we're going to talk about roster mismanagement with the Damon Arnette aspect hovering above our heads, where we all know he direct messaged some guy threatening to kill him with some kind of crazy Ghostbuster looking gun, Larry. And that made the rounds on social media. Some other stuff came to light. We'll get into it from his past. And he's no longer a Raider, just like Henry Ruggs. Completely different situation, obviously, but both first-round picks from not very long ago that are gone. So we're going to talk about roster mismanagement. Larry, you and I had meant to get into that weeks ago, but that's when the stuff hit the fan, you know, the other stuff that hit the fan weeks ago with the former head coach. So we're going to talk about that, and we're also going to talk about Las Vegas, baby. Yeah, the streets are talking. What's going on? Do the Raiders have to alter their game plan because they're in Las Vegas with personnel? What's going on there? So we're going to talk about those aspects. And, you know, well, I will mention the Chiefs game too, Larry. But the headline out of this Giants game was that Derek Carr had a terrible game. Three turnovers, like I mentioned. He had a pick six to open the second half. And that begs the question. Was the Henry Ruggs situation, was there a hangover there? Everyone on the team was asked essentially point blank, this is a game the Raiders could have had. I mentioned Larry, right? Six times in the red zone. Defense played well enough to win. The pick six blew the whole thing up and a few other things. But was it because of the emotion of Henry Ruggs, or was it X's and O's with Henry Ruggs? Probably a little bit of both, perhaps. The players say it was no emotion, zero emotion involved. They all went in there with a great mindset, had a great week of practice. Even though Darren Waller did say his emotions were weighing heavy, he said that for himself personally. He had a good day. So what was going on there, Larry? Because, man, the Raiders looked like they could have had that and went 6-2 instead of 5-3 in a very tight AFC West. They could have had some separation there, man.
Right. I first want to address that the first part of the issue is the team missing. Did the team, you asked me, did the team,
right,
was it the team without Ruggs? And my answer to you is without a doubt.
I agree.
It's not even a question. The offense that we just saw was the offense that we saw without Henry Ruggs. That was the offense we saw. Now, I want to also bring this in the second category. Second category is this. What about the red zone inefficiencies? Now, I want to also get into the fact that now, without Henry Ruggs, should we have beaten the Giants? Yes, we should have.
Yeah.
Because we were able to move the ball between the 20s, and we were able to see the in the red zone. So, did the offense that we see did DC lose the game off of red zone inopportunities? Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Did the offense look totally different without Henry Ruggs throwing the ball because the defense didn't have to worry about Zay Jones or Bryan Edwards? Yes, the offense looked totally different.
The game was definitely lost in the red zone. You can't really get around that. Derek Carr played poorly. He played extremely poorly. And that wasn't, he said after the game, it wasn't because of emotion. I certainly freaking believe him. I mean, he was just missing. His whole receiver group was jacked up. Ruggs was their leading receiver. And furthermore, he stretched the field as Larry was talking about. And these red zone issues, we can all recall with a little bit of football horror, the previous issues dating back to last season and probably before that, I feel comfortable saying the season before and this season early on, red zone issues. But with Henry Ruggs and the way the offense was cranking, yo, we didn't even need red zone offense. We didn't need it. And that's what Henry Ruggs gave us. You know, there's times where the Raiders weren't in the red zone very much at all during a game, and they're lighting up the scoreboard. And once the Raiders become kind of matriculated it down the field a little bit, less pop, you know, thank goodness the Raiders have Waller and Renfro and Josh Jacobs had a heck of a day, his first breakout day. But the red zone issues come back. They come back. And they came back pretty strong. And it really cost the Raiders. But how do they move forward from this? You know, the Raiders, you know, the couple things we want to mention with this Giants game and the after effects is DeSean Jackson is going to come in, and also Marcus Mariota. Maybe we should go there first, right, Larry? Marcus Mariota did get one play in the game against the Giants. They ran a straight-up option play. It was beautiful. It went for a first down. I think it was 4th and 2. Do we think, and we'll talk more about the Chiefs, a little bit more about the Chiefs later, but do you see Mariota in the red zone next week, Larry? Like, boom, let's get this going.
Yeah, no, I do. I expect Marcus Mariota in several different things. I expect Marcus Mariota to be goal line. I expect him to be short yardage. I expect him to be red zone. It's all hands on deck. Marcus Mariota is a threat with his legs. He can throw. I need to win this game against Kansas City. I don't care how we do it. Marcus Mariota comes in here with his legs and can get first downs and can get touchdowns and can confuse the defense, switch a pace, do it. And I believe they will.
Well, there's no reason to apologize here. However, how is that going to go? And we've talked about this on the Rip jokingly before, but how is that going to go, Larry, when, I mean, Derek Carr has so much command over everything. I know he's a team guy, but he's got, Derek Carr has such like a prominent role on this team right now. I'm just curious, like procedurally how that goes. I'm not really asking you. I mean, if you have an idea, let me know. But I just kind of, that's intriguing to me. Like, oh yeah, is Derek Carr going to be like, is he going to be like, yeah, it's time for Marcus to come in? Or I guess Greg Olsen's going to have to do some hard coaching at that point, right? And you'd be like,
right,
Mariota's in. That must have been how it happened in the game against the Giants. But I want to see Mariota in there certainly. Definitely in the red zone. They've already shown they're willing to do that in short yardage. I just personally want to give Derek Carr like another couple chances. I want to give Derek Carr like the next couple chances, one at least the next opportunity in the red zone. Just because he's the man, Derek Carr. I respect what he's done, his body of work. Give him, maybe they can figure something else out in addition to the Mariota fix, but that's clearly has to be a fix. You know, even if Derek Carr comes in and goes 2 for 2, say, in the red zone, if they feel like it's right to bring in Mariota, or they have a Mariota package, definitely switch it up, get him in there. I anticipate him to get that opportunity in the red zone against the Chiefs as well. But we'll see what Greg Olsen does, and if Derek Carr, as we say, is the offensive coordinator, if he's going to if he's going to be cool with that.
Right, 100%.
You know, but yeah, we got to see it. It's a must. Larry says, all hands on deck. Raiders need W's. You know, one of the great things about this up and down few weeks is, hey, Raiders are 5-3, baby. Of course, a lot of work to do, but, you know, we've all been through rougher times than this Raider Nation. Some crazy stuff done happen, and the Raiders were like 2-8, and it was just adding on to the misery. But, hey, Raiders got some ballers, got a good team, and they just need to score touchdowns. So where do you want to go next, Larry? You want to go roster mismanagement behind door number one or Vegas behind door number two?
I think let's go to – I'll let you decide.
All right, let's save the Vegas for the last. I want to go roster mismanagement. Just because we talking about Damon Arnette at the top of the rip. And Larry, you tweeted, I believe it was Ian Rappaport's tweet. I'll cue it up here. And it just detailed that draft. And there's a lot, the Henry Ruggs, Damon Arnette draft. And there's a lot to get into with roster management. Football gods know we get into it a lot on the rip. We've been trying to, we've been avoiding it, not avoiding it, but you know, it's on the back burner right now because the Raiders are 5-3. But with this kind of stuff going on now, it needs to be addressed. Like I said, we meant to do this weeks ago, but there's a lot of stuff to gripe about. But right now, specifically looking at the Raiders 2020 draft, oh my goodness. Henry Ruggs, the freak incident and horrific incident, tragic. All of that, freaking Henry Ruggs going 156, not even on the freeway, like you told me on the phone, Larry. Just sickening. He gone. So two first round picks gone. This is the 2020 draft, Raider Nation. This is must be unprecedented. I mean, this has to be the first time. We'll have to ask Josh Dubow about this, perhaps, Larry. But so those two guys are gone. Then Lynn Bowden didn't play a snap. Brian Edwards, you know, he's a starter. He's not doing much at all. As Larry tweeted, he doesn't look like a starter one bit. Then Tanner Muse didn't play a snap for Vegas. John Simpson is a backup guard in there starting, playing okay. And Amik Robertson, he got benched for scrap heap guy, face on. So, I mean, you tweeted that draft and just were like, wow, and we're all like, wow, and it's just so sickening, man. And what do you got to say about that draft, Larry? I mean, you can bring in Mike Mayock to this. He's the guy that's standing. I was kind of saying other GMs might get fired for this kind of thing.
I agree. And I think he would get fired this type of thing. But right now, I believe that – I mean, I never liked the drafting process that the Raiders have been doing for the last several years. In fact, I had even said that this year was enough. I wasn't even going to watch the draft anymore.
You did.
When, you know, we're even looking at some of the players that we're drafting. And it's just the hit and miss rate was disgraceful. It was disgraceful. And the Raiders drafting process, you know, you just, you know, we'll go and focus with this one 2020 draft. That's the worst draft I've ever seen in the Raiders franchise history. It's going to go down probably as one of the worst drafts in any team's history.
Yeah.
It's probably the worst. I must say that Henry Ruggs before this incident, I mean, he looked like he was, as you and I were talking about, before the podcast, that he was really holding up this draft class.
Oh yeah.
Like this draft class was pretty much, you know, nothing without him. You take him out here and then you also take Arnette, and then it's just, yeah, it's the worst. It's by far the worst, and it's possibly the worst in, maybe the worst in NFL history.
It's got to be up there. It's got to be up there. And, you know, we're talking about a draft process for the Raiders, Larry, which you especially have bemoaned for, you know, a while, even though, you know, the draft 2 years ago was pretty good if you take Farrell out. But obviously that's a huge bugaboo, and, you know, you can't just take Farrell out. It doesn't work like that. He's in the draft. But
just can't take him out.
But there's a lot of good players there, and that's what Mayock pointed to, talking about some character issues, which, you know, I can hold on to that until the Vegas discussion. But the thing about the process, we don't know what the process is moving forward, you know, but we can look at what it was. And Mayock talking to the media about really having to release Arnette, Mayock said, quote, "He's sick to his stomach. We did more research on Arnette than anybody else since I've been here, and we missed, and that is 100% on me," end quote. And all this talk about, rightfully so, that Gruden calls all the shots. We all know that. Gruden called all the shots. We all know that. But Vic Tafer reports that Damon Arnette was seen as Mike Mayock's and Paul Gunther's guy. And so I just want to get that out there as far as most guys would be fired. You know, it's and Mayock says it's 100% on me. I don't think he's going to be fired, but if it was like a, if he was in a normal situation, he probably would be fired. You know, it's all, it's, I think all that's saving him is all the chaos around him and that, you know, Gruden's gone and it's a new day. But the thing I really want to fault Mayock on this Arnette pick specifically is he said, why are you studying so hard, Larry? Why are you studying so hard? Why are you trying to make the Arnette thing work so hard? Like, what is so important about that? There's no other cornerback that you want. There's no other player you can grab at number 19. You really just need to do research and research and just dig and dig. And hey, I work with the coaches and I think it'll be okay. And, you know, Mayock said there were red flags. He said everyone knew him. What did he say? I forget the exact. He said there was significant concern. Most of the teams around the league were very aware of it. Well, why are you trying so hard to make it work, Mike Mayock? That is crazy to me. Crazy. And I can't get into his head and figure that out. But if you have to try that hard to make it work, probably just at least don't pick up a 19. Really incredible. So I think he would be fired like at the drop of a hat in most other situations. But right now, he's least of the Raiders' concerns. There's nothing wrong. And I mean, he's good. And he has brought in some good players. So, and like you said, Larry, the Henry Ruggs thing, who could see that coming? It's a freak accident. You know, he was holding the draft up. But it's so, I don't think the word is ironic. Maybe it is, but the Raiders got rid of Lynn Bowden, who's in this draft, reportedly because he was being a bad influence on Ruggs and Arnette. I mean, I don't know. It's a lot of stuff to throw at you there, Larry. But basically, I think he'd be fired. But the situation's so chaotic right now. He good.
Yep, I totally agree with you. I totally agree. Yeah, I think you said it. You said it. You said everything right there. You pretty much said it. You kneel to the wall, especially you
bam,
know.
Bam.
you know, do I not? Do I want him here? Do I Mike Mayock here? Not really. But with all the chaos right now, we have so many other things we have to deal with. And right now I'm trying to win ball games and trying to keep the roster that we have intact because I don't want to see a new coach and a whole new rebuilding process. So unfortunately right now, I can't even talk about Mike Mayock right now and about his drafting issues because I'm trying to go out here and win games and get to the playoffs.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because I've been wanting to talk about it. And it's disgusting that the fact that our drafts are this bad and this pathetic, especially after you trade, you know, Mac and Cooper, you know, franchise players.
Yeah. Now we got some time to talk about it, man. Preach. I mean, it's been bad.
No, like I said, I want to keep on going, but yeah, that's, you know, like I said, you pretty much nailed it on the wall and, you know, there's not that much else really that had to be said. So.
Yeah. You know, we'll just Raiders are just kind of not treading water, but kind of like almost like that. I don't think it's a really great metaphor, but. You know, something close to that, you know, and it's just, you know, Arnette, freaking knucklehead, you know, and it's frustrating. And Mayock said that's 100% on him. And, you know, we're going to have to, at least he's taking responsibility. We're going to have to move on. We're getting used to that around here. We're moving on because things aren't all that bad. 5-3, got some ballers. Defense is actually there. So, it's, you know, stay tuned to Mayock's situation because he drafted those guys at those first three picks. I have dubbed them, probably inappropriately, the Vegas three. Them are Ruggs.
Love it.
Ruggs, Arnette, and Lynn Bowden. Because those three guys either couldn't handle Vegas, couldn't handle being a pro athlete while they were in Vegas, or they were perceived to not have that ability and were shipped out of town. And the Raiders have nothing for those first three picks in that draft. And Mayock also, you know, tying it to Vegas a little bit, you know, he was obviously asked about this line that he and Gruden used to give about character guys, drafting character guys. Mayock pointed to all the guys he drafted in his first draft that are good character guys, that are the foundation of the team. You know, the Hunter Renfro, Max Crosby, Foster Moreau, others. So, you know, he kind of defended himself in that way. He also said, you know, you in any town in America, you can get into trouble. But we on the Rip have been on this because we know Vegas is paradise and it makes people act a little bit different. That's my opinion and it's my experience. Albert Breer, a national guy with the Sports Illustrated, actually, pardon me, Monday Morning Quarterback, NBC Sports, he tweeted on November 8th. He said, quote, "I'm not saying Vegas is to blame for Raiders players getting into trouble, but it sure feels like that organization is going to have to operate like Miami has to, with the knowledge that certain players just can't handle being in that city." He said it has to be part of the equation now. And that's one opinion that's out there, Larry. And there's this other opinion that's like are you got to be kidding me? You know, this is not Las Vegas. This could happen in any city. You know, look at the Golden Knights, right? This kind of thing. So I know what I think about it. You know, I know Vegas has a lot to do with it. The only question is how much, and that's kind of what the unanswerable question that we'll always be talking about.
Right, and I'm just gonna say Vegas has enough to do with it, Raider Nation, that an NBA franchise wants nothing to do with Las Vegas. It's that big of a percentage. If it were a smaller percentage, you're not telling me a NFL or a major sports league like the NBA wouldn't have a NBA franchise in the entertainment capital of the world. I also want to say, I also like to say that the Golden Knights are not the Las Vegas Raiders. This is not the NFL.
Yeah.
In fact, I believe the college football revenue makes more than NHL. It's not even close.
I mean, clearly not UNLV. It's not a dig at UNLV, but you know, we're talking college football in total.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Sorry. Maybe that was a dig at UNLV. My bad. I like UNLV. I played him before on like NCAA football. Like I won championship. I won chips with the UNLV. Just saying. But it was kind of a cheap shot.
No. And so, you know, keeping it real, like, so every city in America is going to have a roulette table.
Right.
Right next to you. Where you can put down $80,000, $100,000. Really? I am just baffled at people saying that don't blame this on Las Vegas. I'm just baffled. I understand if the people from Las Vegas, I mean, because that's the city that you live in. So you're used to that. You're accustomed to that.
Of course, yeah.
You know, I can kind of see that.
Of course.
Because you're from Las Vegas. Unfortunately, yeah, right. The rest of America is not in Las Vegas,
right,
where you can have a drink in your hand at any point in time, at any part of the day. That is totally welcome. I am just, it's the Vegas, like you said, it's a part of it. I don't know if, I don't understand how people cannot say it's a part of it.
Well, here's what I'm trying to say. People, the argument is like most arguments nowadays, it's dumb because people aren't actually arguing in person. They're arguing on social media and and like we went, like talked last week on the Rip, like you're talking about how can people say this and how can people say that? It's because they're each saying, or the perception is like, oh, I'm saying that Vegas is to blame. And that's why Albert Breer started his tweet. He's a smart fella, I think. He says, I'm not saying Vegas is to blame for Raiders players getting in trouble, but yada, yada, so on and so forth. You know, it's Vegas is Vegas. It's different than other cities. You know, Albert Breer also brought in Miami. That's another aspect that people bring up. Larry, you smartly brought it up last week. You know, Miami and New York are other cities where this happens. But that's the real issue. Like, there, you know, it's not all one or the other. You know, clearly not. And about the Vegas, you're talking about the NHL, Larry. That cracks me up, man. Because totally agree. NFL is just a bigger deal. These guys are real celebrities. You know, NFL rules America as far as sports goes. And also I want to say this, like for any fans out there that are saying, hey, my Vegas Golden Knights aren't doing this. My Vegas Golden Knights aren't doing that. Do you know they're not doing that? Do you know? Because you look at a case like Damon Arnette, and this is kind of what I was saying on the Rip last week, he wrecked 4 rental cars in a month. Did we hear about that? No, we did not. Not until he got released. Not until that information was deemed okay to get out. So, Vegas Golden Knights. They're probably. I hope they're well behaved. Quote unquote. Whatever you consider that to be. Whatever. We all have an idea of what we're talking about. You know, getting into trouble with the law, acting a fool, hurting your team. Do we not? Do we know that? No, we don't know. So, because Vegas is like that. On the other side of the token, Larry, Vic Taffer made a point that Henry Ruggs, while he was in Vegas when that happened, he was at a Top Golf, which is what the facility is called, and there's multiple Top Golfs throughout the country, like you mentioned, I believe, on the Rip, Larry. Mm-hmm. And so, A, he was at one of those. B, he was coming from his friend's house. And the idea that he was saying is that those two things aren't really Las Vegas activities. So that kind of, he was just pointing that out. He wasn't really lending to this argument we're talking about one way or the other. But I thought that was an interesting point. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I don't. Because I've heard some stuff, I've been hearing some different reports, about him fighting with his girlfriend.
Yeah,
and different
I saw
things
that.
Like that.
I saw you mention. I didn't even read that, because I kind of had that feeling too. Because you got to, boyfriend and a girlfriend in a car. I mean, think about if you ever been with your significant other and one's acting a fool behind the wheel. Like, clearly, it's not a good. There's probably some argument going on. So I definitely hear you, Larry. I kind of saw that coming too, coming as well. But as far as the point Vic made, I think it's a really, really, really fair point. I really think it is. I think it's a really actually good and fair point. The thing I'd say is that Vegas makes you feel a different way. It makes me feel a different way. It does. That's all straight up. We know this. You go to Vegas not for the feeling, for what it does to you. You know you're gonna lose money probably, but who cares? You're Vegas, baby. You're gonna let loose. You're gonna blow off some steam. You're gonna have some fun. Most Americans that go there will be on some kind of substance, mostly liquor, legal substance, still substance. And that's the divide here, I think, Larry. Right? Because people that live there, they don't have that feeling. They don't have that feeling. So that's why they're pushing back on this. I get it. But I've got a pretty healthy confidence in saying that Henry Ruggs still had that freaking feeling. He still had that Vegas feeling. I am not ready to say that Henry Ruggs is just like ho hum. I'm in Alabama. I forget where he grew up exactly.
Montgomery.
Ho hum. I'm in Montgomery. It's just like Montgomery. No, it's not just like Montgomery. This is, he is not quote unquote at home. He's in Vegas, baby. And so if you're the main indicator to me is 3:40 in the morning, like, okay, you're at Top Golf, you're at a friend's house. Sounds pretty mundane, but 3:40 in the morning. And there were team responsibilities the next day. That is even that aspect. And it's a stretch. It's pure speculation on my part, but just Vegas, 24 hours, I'm going to stay up to three, whatever. He was going to be up to, who knows? He was maybe going to pull an all-nighter at that point. You might as well have. So that to me is all, it seems to me from here, sitting in the Rip studio, that Vegas had a good amount to do with it. And, but I think,
totally.
I think it's a Vegas aspect.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I also want to even take it a step further. How about you crashed, Damon Arnett crashed four different rental cars.
Yeah, in
that
a
has
month.
That has absolutely nothing to do with Las Vegas whatsoever.
I mean,
nothing. People from Las Vegas that really had, that you're in. It's almost like you're insulting other people's intelligence when you say that.
Well, I've got to peel into that a little bit, because like, I don't exactly get how that's a Vegas thing. I kind of vaguely get it. Like, it could. I kind of think it's a Vegas thing that it didn't get reported, perhaps. But
yes,
like
yes.
Right. That's that aspect. Okay. Right. Because
that aspect.
Clearly,
yeah,
I think
that's what I mean. That's
right.
What I mean.
Right. Because I think Arnett was
my question to you is this. Because I was gonna ask, my next question to you was going to be this: in the Bay Area, like where we live,
Bay Area.
Does in a first round draft pick, if they wreck their rental car?
Oh my God! You got to be kidding me. There's going to be KCBS. There's going to be radio stations that are covering that. Thank you. There's going to be all three or four local news affiliates. One major newspaper, the largest newspaper on the West Coast, I believe, San Francisco Chronicle, as well as multiple other newspapers, are going to pick that up. Yeah, it's going to be a huge story. One.
That's my. That's my deal. That's my point.
Yeah. So is that, yeah, it's a Vegas. That's the Vegas aspect you're talking about. I totally feel that, man. I don't know, I'm kind of Vegas'd out. I don't think I really have any more takes on that. I think that. What do you think, Larry? You want? You got any more Vegas? You got more Vegas stuff?
I'm good. I'm good to go. I also want to say that, you know, let's hope for the best. You know, let's hope that the team has been able to get, you know, let's hope the team has been able to get over that video that we saw of Arnett after what the team has had to go through. I mean,
man.
I just can't even deal with the irresponsibility of that Raider Nation.
Right.
I hope the team really figures this out, and moving forward, it's going to have to be a major point of emphasis. And I believe that that's one of the reasons why I could see Mark Davis keeping a Mike Mayock on, because of having to deal with these type of character issues, red flags, so to speak, that the Raiders are going to have to begin to start looking for, very similar to Miami. I also believe that the Raiders might be personally, are going to have to get, if the Raiders not make the playoffs, and if they unfortunately have to go in a different direction, I believe that they will have to go for a hammer down coach because of the situation. Mm. I hope that we keep our coaching staff, and I hope we make the playoffs. If we go in their direction, I would really see it would make sense to me to go for a disciplinarian coach.
Yeah,
definitely would. I also want to say, I mean, you know, does Damon Arnett do that under the last coaching staff? Does he go on IG,
right,
Instagram or something like that and go point his gun, threatening to kill somebody under a coaching staff that we just had?
That's a good question. I have to say that with Arnett, I think maybe the answer is yes. However, and once again, we discussed this chopping it up on the telephone, but maybe Ruggs, tragically, could be a little bit something there as far as Ruggs' personality coming out much more after John Gruden left. The disciplinarian was gone. I mean, he definitely acted much more loose and free inside the facility. Yes. And, you know, perhaps that extended to outside the facility as well, inside of Las Vegas, the great city of. So, yeah, it's tough. And I guess we can move on to a little bit about some Chiefs talk. I do want to mention one thing about the personnel. I said I didn't have any more takes, but I want to point out that Andre James was the highest rated center in the NFL by Pro Football Focus. And the reason why I want to bring that up is because he's like a straight scrub like 3 weeks ago. And maybe the Giants had a scheme that took it easy on James. Lord knows sometimes centers have linemen have it real easy. You never know what's going to be in front of you. Sometimes it's an easier day than others, you know, but he was the best center. But the reason I bring that up, Larry, is because Damon Arnett, I mean, he's gone and he was a first round pick, but he was kind of a scrub, right? He was a scrub. But what if he had his head on straight and was working hard? You know, it really just grinds my gears, man, because like even the coaches that were quick to give up on people, they didn't give up on Arnett. They saw something in him physically, even though he wasn't really their type of cornerback. And it's just like the worst case. It's like the worst of all worlds with the personnel with Arnett, you know. It's just a massive mistake by Mayock. And hey, we'll see what you can do moving forward. Really would have liked to see him progress, but he's a knucklehead. Don't draft knuckleheads. We're in Vegas, baby. All right, Larry. Yeah, maybe get that coach. I think that was a good point. We'll see. If the Raiders can beat the Chiefs next week and run off some more wins, probably have Rich Bisacci in though, right, Larry? So let's see. I know you don't want to see a new coach either. So let's see against the Chiefs. It's prime time Sunday night. What is your ideal way? What's your ideal case scenario for that game? How do you ideally see that game turning out? Obviously with the Raiders win, but how can they achieve that victory against the Chiefs?
It's going to have to be a full team victory. It's going to have to be all three phases. It's going to have to be the offense is going to have to do what they did against Kansas City at Kansas City, which means you're going to have to take deep shots, and the deep shots are going to have to be successful. They're not going to be able – they don't want Kansas City to sit there and sit on the run, but we're going to – so mm-hmm. – and that's just exactly what we want to do. We're going to be running the ball.
Yes.
And we're going to have to see Derek Carr make some shots down the field. He's going to have to make some successful shots. to be able to make sure the defense is going to be so close to the line.
To and Deshaun Jackson, perhaps?
I see a Deshaun Jackson sighting.
Yeah.
I not only see a Deshaun Jackson sighting, but I see a Deshaun Jackson in the punt return game.
Yeah, okay. You know, oh, boy, that's kind of scary. I'm a little scared of that.
Deshaun Jackson, I believe it's time. And I believe that right now you're facing a squad right now where, you know, it's time that you have to win the game. Like, you have to beat this team. You have to beat KC. You have to beat them. This is a must-win game. The Raiders are 5-3. They need to stop any type of losing momentum that they have. Yeah. They need to pound the rock, and they need to throw the ball over the top. And they have to do that, and they have to make sure that KC's defense isn't just sitting there. As long as they do that, if they ground KC's running it, because KC is not a very good running defense team. Mm-hmm. Now they're not a very good defense.
Defense overall. They have been awful at times.
They've just been awful. Yeah. And I believe that the offense, I want to see DC like he did against Philadelphia. I need to see Derek Carr go against like he was in Philadelphia. And I need to see him just pretty much all of the field needs to be attacked. And if that is the case, we will be able to be victorious because our offense will be humming and our defense and our defensive pass rush is hungry.
Yeah.
They're hungry.
I'm not worried about those guys.
Me neither. Yeah. They're going
to
be ready.
That's nice to say.
They're ready for Patrick Mahomes. They've been trying to get after Patrick Mahomes for years. They are going to be like some animals. We need the offense to be able to score points, especially in the red zone, and score points really on big plays to stretch the defense. There has to be some stretch of the defense plays. There has to be. And if that is the case, the Raiders win the game. I would love to see the Raiders just dominate. I mean, I almost cursed right there. I mean, I'm just going to be real. I hate Kansas City with a passion. And if there's a time to beat KC right now, this is the time.
It's always a good time.
Derek Carr. We lose this game, unfortunately, you know, throughout the NFL. The NFL starts bringing up head coaching searches. You know, I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, the NFL. Probably. I mean, yeah, I could see that, you know. I mean, on the counterpoint to that, it is pretty tight in the AFC West right now. I think it might take two losses in a row, but I mean, it's just minor difference of opinion there. You know, it's definitely, you know, Rich Bisaccia, two wins, looking great. It's too bad he's had all this adversity, obviously. I would say two more losses, but clearly he's kind of skating on a razor's edge there as far as his viability as the coach of the Raiders next season. So I could see that. So you want some Raiders football. I can dig it. Pound the rock, hit it deep. I am concerned with Deshaun Jackson's health. I want the minimum amount of field stretching the Raiders can get away with to be effective. I want to see Henry Ruggs. I want Henry Ruggs from last year. That's all I require from Deshaun Jackson right now. I don't need Henry Ruggs. Freaking Henry Ruggs, man. That freaking guy. I don't need the version of Henry Ruggs from this season. I just see that son of a gun's name and it just really makes me sick. We don't need him from this season. We just need him what he was last season. Just stretch the field. Don't need many receptions. Keep your hamstrings loose, Deshaun. Whatever injury has been ailing you, please see the trainer often. Don't get hurt. Be able to run down the field and just do that. And of course, hit him with the bomb when applicable, but don't need a whole lot of that. Just need just barely enough. And whatever, especially in this game specifically, is what I'm talking about. But even moving forward, and more for this game specifically, you mentioned Pat on the Rock, Larry. I want to see, I think the whole Raider Nation should want to see that. Kansas City, notoriously bad at stopping the run. They have some athletes up there, but they don't seem to be very disciplined, and personnel is an issue as well. And Josh Jacobs had his best game of the season last year, and Kenyon Drake was one of the highest rated Raiders as well. He had a really good game, so hit him with the 1-2. This is the real time to get the 1-2 going, Larry. Yep. Your Tyron Wheatley Charlie Garner. Something else I want to, speaking of deep, I will say that, what's that dude's, the Kansas City safety that always gets burnt? Not Matthew, but Sorensen? Was it Sorensen? That guy is terrible. He's terrible. How is he out there? He's like, he reminds me of guys from Raiders past who shall remain unnamed, unless you want to throw some out there, Larry. I'm not.
Stuart Swagger.
yeah, no doubt. It reminds me of Stuart Swagger. Okay. So yeah, go after that guy. Get some matchups you like. You know, let's go. Raiders. And that goes as well in the red zone matchups, and that includes Mariota. So I want to see a healthy. I want to see Jacobs and Kenyon Drake. This is the time for it. Ready made. Let's do it. I want to see it. It'll help get Carr back on track as well. I doubt he needs a whole lot of help, but he's a human being. He needs help. You know, we all said it was gonna be hard to see him be so good for 17 games, and he had a bad game. None of us wants to see that again. He'll be back, but Jacobs hasn't been there for him all year. I want to see him there for Carr and go from there. That's
good
what
call.
You know, right? I mean, that's what I want, dude. So let's see it. It could
call.
Be like, yeah. It's like a fresh beginning almost. Like, yo, we got Jacobs now. Where's the 5-2? And Jacobs hadn't done squat. Barely. So.
For real. Good call.
Yeah, dude. Let's get it. What else you got, Larry? I think we're about ready to wrap this episode of The Rip up for this week.
Nope. I think I'm feeling good right now. I think I'm feeling good right now for this KC win.
Me too.
You know, let's
Me too.
Hope and see that these KC fans are going to be limited. Last year, we saw a whole bunch of social media without any fans. It was like a red sea outside of the Raiders stadium. It's going to be a little interesting to see what's going to happen with Sunday Night Football, what's going to be like inside Allegiant Stadium on Sunday night. I'm going to just bring up that little aspect as well.
Absolutely. You know, I'm super excited for this game, and yeah, we'll see what the crowd's like. I know the Raider Nation is going to be louder and prouder and partying harder. And I believe the Red Nation are going to walk away with a dub and send those Chiefs fans home with a tail between their legs. Whatever that stupid mascot is they got, his tail is going to be between his legs too, whatever the F that thing is. All right. That's what I want to see. No more parties in paradise. Only we party in paradise. Let's go.
I love it.
Let's go. Red Alert, we are part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. As you know, we are the Raiders in Paradise podcast. Listen to us wherever podcasts are found. Definitely remember to like, comment, subscribe, rate, all of that. We love any constructive criticism. You can find Larry on Twitter at Raider Larry with the Madden GIF as his avatar. Love your tweets lately, player. You've been on fire. You can find me at Luke J. Straub, Straub. Check out my weekly column on the Raiders Wire, my winners and losers column. And thank you so much, as always, for listening to Raider Nation. Yo, Raiders are 5-3. There's some crazy stuff happening. Crazy on top of crazy. And add a scoop of a little bit more crazy. Sprinkles of crazy. It's been nuts. But the Raiders are 5-3, and they got some straight ballers. And we're in paradise. And we are still super hyped about the potential for this team. We've seen it. We just want to see more. So, Larry, what do you got to say to the Raider Nation before I sign us off?
Raider Nation, win, lose, or tie, Raiders till we die. Raiders, BKC.
Yeah, that is a dang deal. Let's go. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk with you next week on The Rip. Go Raiders.
Go Raiders.